Das meist viel weniger. Sie kriegt dann in den Bistum, das habe ich dann nicht. Now we will jump out of order. Now, right after Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill, this happens in the 25th chapter. In the 24th chapter, Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill as a resident of Vrindavan. In the 25th chapter, Vrindavan becomes very angry and therefore tries to kill all the residents of Vrindavan, including all the cows. And we know that he was unsuccessful because Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and gave protection to all the residents of Vrindavan. But what happens in the 26th chapter, and then there's the 27th chapter, those are the two chapters I wanted to read. And in the 26th chapter, there's a little chapter where the residents of Vrindavan asked Nanda Maharaj about Krishna because they had just been watching him for 7 days lift Govardhan Hill, and therefore they were amazed and they wanted to speak to Nanda Maharaj about this wonderful boy of his. Then in the next chapter, we'll read the 27th chapter. Then Indra comes with Sarabi to apologize to Krishna. First, before reading 27, I shall read 26. Without understanding the intricacies of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and without knowing his uncommon spiritual opulences, so usually, what would you expect the rest of the sentence to be in one of Prabhupada's books? Without understanding the intricacies of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without knowing his uncommon spiritual opulences,
one would misunderstand his custom.
Yes, everyone. Or?
I would think of him as an ordinary man.
Yes, and therefore he's a rascal and a muda or something maybe. A fool. But this is on a different level, having to do with the cowherd men. So without understanding the intricacies of Krishna, so the cowherd men didn't understand the intricacies of Krishna. Hey Gopal, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, intricacies of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and without knowing his uncommon spiritual opulences, you would expect people of this world are going to go to hell. But in this situation, without understanding the intricacies and understanding his opulences, the innocent cowherd boys and men of Vrindavan began to discuss the wonderful activities of Krishna, which surpassed the activities of all men. So they didn't, on one level, understand his uncommon spiritual opulences and the intricacies, the philosophical intricacies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But yet, they, in a very simple way, after watching him lift Govardhan Hill, they began to discuss his wonderful activities, which surpassed all men. One of them, the coward man said, "My dear friends, considering his wonderful activities, how is it possible that such an uncommon boy would come and live with us in Vrindavan?" What do they mean by that?
I thought they were thinking that he was one of the demigods and he was somebody to protect them
or but if
how lucky we are to have someone in our midst like this.
But not only how lucky we are, but how is it possible? Because a person with such karma to be born, you know, to be so powerful that it can lift the hill, how could he take his birth in a coward village? People are so powerful, they take their birth in a powerful family. A family of Chachis, royal family, the king of the world or something like that. So how is it possible that such an uncommon boy would, because he was so beautiful, he was so intelligent, he was so young, so powerful, that how could he live with us in Vrindavan? Because we're just ordinary coward people. Just imagine, he is now only, how old? 7 years old. How is it possible for him to lift Govardhan Hill in one hand and hold it up just as the king of elephants holds up a lotus flower? A seven-year-old boy. Who do you know who is 7 years old in the community at this point? Who's seven? Any of the local kids? How old are you?
12 and 5.
Five. Two. So if you put five and two together. And how is it possible that a seven-year-old, five and two, can hold up Govardhan Hill, a hill? Could either of you chosen to do that? Both of them together? Even with the help of the 12-year-old? Cannot do.
12 minus 5.
Ah. 12 minus 5 also. How is it possible for him to lift Govardhan Hill in one hand and hold it up just as the king of elephants holds the lotus flower? They were so amazed by Krishna's pastimes that he exhibited day after day that all day long they were just discussing in this way and they were absorbed in him. To lift a lotus flower is a most insignificant thing for an elephant. And similarly, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill without any exertion. When he was simply a small baby, this boy who was so amazing, how is he born in a coward village? When he was simply a small baby and could not even eat properly, see properly, because when a baby is young, they cannot see, he killed a great demon named and while sucking her breast, he also sucked out her life air. And Krishna killed the Putana demon exactly as eternal time kills a living creature in due course. Second example, how is this boy? He's so wonderful with us. First example, he lifted the hill. Second, he killed Putana. He was so young, he couldn't even see properly. And then, when he was only 3 months old, he was sleeping beneath a hand-driven cart. And being hungry for his mother's breast, he began to cry and throw his legs upward. And from the kicking of his small feet, the cart immediately broke apart and fell to pieces. How do they know that's what happened? Because the boys who were around him, because the boy was crying, Mother Yasoda picked him up, and he went to sleep. And this was a festival. In his honor, because he had just turned over for the first time. 3 months old. Brought out of the house for the first time, practically. And then he was kicking. And how? Even a 2-year-old couldn't break a big cart. Speak of this 3-month girl who has the tenderest feet and kicking them. The cart broke into thousands of pieces and went everywhere, or fell apart anyway, and it was filled with brass utensils, brass cooking things, and they were all scattered everywhere, making a big sound. Now, what demon was killed in this way? Sakatasura. Now, what has Sakatasura have to do with the court? Yes and no simultaneously. The demon took the form of a card? Yes and no. But yes, mostly yes, but also not in the way we usually think. The Sakatasura was very subtle, like hair. And he was, what did he do? No. But what is that? Pandaji.
Yeah.
What is this?
Garuda.
Chakra.
Chakra mantra.
This one?
Yeah, like.
Yes, you got a chakra mantra. Garuda. Yes, that's. So he was flying through the sky like a bird, but not like a bird. He was subtle like air. And he thought, Putana has taken the form of a witch, and she's been killed. So I will remain formless. But I will enter into this cart. And when we enter the cart, by the weight of this formless demon, that he took the form of a cart, but it wasn't that the cart wasn't there before he took the form of a cart. The cart was there, and he took on the form of the cart. He entered within the form of the cart in a very subtle way. But when he entered it, he was still there. Subtle doesn't mean he's not there. Then the weight of the cart pushed down. And therefore, when Krishna kicked his legs, it was up high. Like the wheels of a cart, usually all the small baby's legs can be reached it. So when the weight of the cart pushed down, when he kicked his legs up, he started to cry because his mother wasn't there. The cart demon, not the cart. But no one could understand that actually there was a demon inside. So they're just saying his small feet kicked the cart and immediately broke it apart, fell to pieces. And then, when he was 1 year old, just 1 year old, he was carried away by the Trinavarta demon disguised as a whirlwind. And although he was taken very high in the sky, he simply hung on the neck of the demon and forced him to fall from the sky and immediately die. So they're going over Krishna's wonderful deeds. They're just talking about them. And this Trinavarta, he caused such a whirlwind that everyone in Vrindavan was blind and no one could see. And Krishna had become, right before that, he had become very heavy. And his mother was carrying him before that. He was how old?
One.
So his mother was carrying him, but he became so heavy, she was forced to put him down. So the demon came, like they were, and picked him up. And Krishna was getting heavy. But you know how children like it when the parents take them, little babies like that. You have seen this? Your two-year-old still likes that? Well, Krishna also liked it, one. So he thought, my mother can't throw me high enough. So let this Trinavarta, let him take me up high. This is what the Jiva Goswami describes. And he also said that Krishna wanted to give the ladies in the heavenly planets his darshan. Let them see him. So therefore, when he went very high, they were able to see him. But then, the demon was trying to take him away to kill him. And Krishna held on to his neck. And the more the demon tried to throw him off, Krishna held more and more tightly. And he tried to throw him off, and he held more tightly. In this way, he was like a garland of a snake around his neck. And if the garland of a snake gets around your neck, especially those, what do you say? Abhidhara. Abhidhara means what? But what's, what kind of snake is it? Is it? Yeah, it's not that kind, but it's python. Titans have Krishna choked him in that way. And he said, Krishna said, what was my fault? I'm just holding on to you. You're teaching me for a ride, and of course I'm holding on to you. Mm-hmm. And then, they're discussing the activities of Krishna. Once his mother, being disturbed by his stealing butter, tied him to a wooden grinding mortar, and the child pulled it towards a pair of trees known as and caused them to fall down. And there was such a sound that everyone fainted in Vraja for one muhurta. But everyone fainted except the cowherd boys who were surrounding the little boys. And they saw Krishna talk to the Nalakubera Manigriva. They were stunned. They could not move, not because of the sound, because they were so absorbed in the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. Once, while he was engaged in tending the cows in the forest along with his elder brother Balaram, a demon named Bhakasura appeared, and Krishna at once bifurcated the demon's beak. When the demon known as Bhakasura entered amongst the calves, tended by Krishna, with the desire to kill him, Krishna immediately detected the demon, killed him, and threw him into a tree. And as Krishna whirled him around, he lost his form of a calf, and he assumed his real terrible form. And this, and then Krishna killed him, because he didn't want to be criticized for killing a calf. Then, when Krishna, along with his elder brother Balaram, entered the Talavan forest, the demon known as Dhanukasura, in the shape of an ass, a donkey. How do you say in Hindi? How do you say this donkey? Gada. Gada. What does Dhanuk mean then?
Dhanuk.
Yeah.
Dhanuk.
You, and that ashram is what?
Dhanuk.
Dhanuk. Dhanuk. Dhanuk, this is Dhanuk. Do you know this word, Dhanukasura? I also don't. He was actually very famous in the Gurdas, and he's described from having, he had done something in a previous birth that caused him to be killed. That caused him to get cursed, to become one. Anyway, this Dhanukasura in the shape of an ass attacked him. It was immediately killed by
Balaram,
who caught his Haribol, who caught his hind legs and threw him into a talsi. Although the Dhanuka demon was assisted by his cohorts, also in the shape of asses, all were killed. And the Talavan forest was then open for the use of the animals and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. When Pralamba Sura entered amongst Krishna's elephants, so they're going from the beginning of Krishna's pastimes, so many of the different demons that were killed, and now they're up to the, this is chapter 26, and they're going to mention Pralamba Sura, who's on chapter 18. When Palambasura entered among Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, Krishna caused him to be killed by Balaram. So Krishna killed him or Balaram killed him? Both, in one sense, because it was Krishna caused him to be killed by Balaram. He made him go first into the forest. What was the first thing Balaram did when he entered the Taliban forest? Yeah, he grabbed it like this and he shook it because he was so envious, this demon, because do donkeys in Gala, can they eat the tall fruit? Can they eat tall fruits? But even though he couldn't eat it, he wouldn't let anyone else eat it.
Mm-hmm.
This is envy. Very bad. Huh? He threw him into a palm tree. Although the Duke saw a demon, was assisted by his cohorts, also in the shape of asses, all were killed. And the Taliban forest was then opened for the use of the animals and inhabitants of Vrindavan. Raise your hand if you've been to Taliban. I have not been. Is it a big forest or a little forest?
No forest, no.
What's there?
Fields.
Temple. What is in the temple?
Krishna.
Jai Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. And what else?
There's one tall tree.
One tall tree only. Why only one? At least there's one.
Mm.
One would think they would plant more.
Mm.
But why one? I mean, if you plant one, you'd plant two. Three doesn't. Huh? From back then. A very old one. Is it very old, this tall tree?
It's pretty old.
Does it still have tall fruit?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
When Palambasura entered among Krishna's cowboy boyfriends, Krishna caused him to be killed by Balaram. Thereafter, Krishna saved his friends and cows from a severe forest fire, and he chastised the clear serpent on the lake of the Yamuna River and forced him to leave the vicinity of the Yamuna. He therefore made the waters of the Yamuna poisonless. So he's saying, what kind of boy is this? Look what he's done. He's only 7 years old. He's already accomplished something so much by seven. What has your baby accomplished? Much more than seven already. Another one of the friends of Nanda Maharaj said, my dear Nanda. Now, so first he's done so many heroic things and wonderful exploits. Then another one of the friends of Nanda Maharaj said, my dear Nanda, we do not know why we're so attracted to your son Krishna. We want to forget him, but this is impossible. Why are we so naturally affectionate towards him? Just imagine how wonderful it is. On one hand, he's only a boy of 7 years, and on the other hand, there's a huge hill, like Abaddon. And he lifted it so easily. Oh, Nanda Maharaj, we are now in great doubt. Your son Krishna must be one of the demigods. Who is this boy? How is he so wonderful? How is he so powerful? He's not an ordinary boy. Maybe he's the Supreme Personality of... On hearing the praises of the coward men of Vrindavan, King Nanda said, my dear friends, in reply to you, I can simply present the statements of Gaugacharya, Gagamuni, so that your doubts may be cleared, because he, just after the birth of Krishna, he predicted that this boy of mine will be so wonderful, and he gave him the name of Krishna. And this is what he said. When he came to perform the name-giving ceremony, you know how to do the name-giving ceremony? Namakaran, have you done? How many? So many?
Two.
when he came to perform the name-giving ceremony, he said that this boy descends in different periods of times, in different colors, and this time he has appeared in Vrindavan in the blackest color, known as Krishna. Previously he had a white color and a red color and a yellow color. He also said that this boy was once the son of Vasudev, and everyone who knows of his previous birth calls him Vasudev. Actually, he said that my son has many varieties of names, according to his different qualities and activities. Kargacharya assured me that this boy would be all auspicious for my family, and he would be able to give transcendental blissful pleasure to all the coward men and to all the cows in Vrindavan. Even though we would be put into various kinds of difficulties, by the grace of this boy, we would be very easily freed from them. He also said that formerly this boy saved the world from an unregulated condition, and he saved all honest men from the hands of the dishonest thieves. He also said that any fortunate man who becomes attached to this boy, Krishna, is never vanquished or defeated by his enemies. On the whole, Gargamuni said, is exactly like Vishnu, who always takes the side of the demigods, who are constantly, consequently never defeated by the demons. Gargacharya concluded that this child would grow to be exactly like Vishnu in transcendental beauty, qualifications, activities, influence, and opulence, and so we should not be very astonished by his wonderful activities. He told all the coward when they were saying, who is he? And he said, well, this is all I can say. That's what Gargacharya said. And after telling me this, Gargacharya returned home. And since then, I've been continually seeing the wonderful activities of this child. According to the version of Gargacharya, I consider he must be Narayan himself, or maybe a plenary portion of Narayan. And what Gargacharya said, Narayana Samagunai, that he will have qualities equal to those of Narayan. So the cowherd men spoke, speaking of the glories of wonderful Krishna, and how is it possible in trying to understand his identity. And then Nanda Maharaj replied basically by saying, this is what Gargamuni predicted, that he would be such a wonderful boy, equal to Lord Narayan in qualities. And when all the coward men had very attentively heard the statements of Gargacharya through Nanda Maharaj, because the name-giving ceremony that Gargamuni performed was not performed publicly, so not everyone, it seems, knew this. Or either that or Nanda Maharaj reminded them again. So when they heard all these statements, they better appreciated the wonderful activities of Krishna and became very jubilant and satisfied. They began to praise Nanda Maharaj because by consulting him, the doubts about Krishna were cleared. They said, and this is interesting, I'll read it in the other book too if it's in there. Yeah, it's in there. They said, that Krishna, who is so kind, beautiful, and merciful, protect us. When angry Indra sent torrents of rain, accompanied by showers of ice blocks and high winds. Showers of ice blocks and high winds. Krishna immediately took compassion upon us and saved us and our families, cows, and valuable possessions by picking up Govardhan Hill, just as a child picks up a mushroom. He saved us so wonderfully. May he continue to glance mercifully over us and our cows. May we live peacefully under the protection of wonderful Krishna. That's the Bhaktivedanta, that's the purport of the 26th chapter of Krishna, Wonderful Krishna. Now we're surrendering. And some of the acharyas I'll read the lesson. After Bhagavarishi spoke these words to me and returned home, I began to consider that Krishna keeps us free from trouble is actually an expansion of Lord Narayan. That's what Pandamat said. Sukadeva Goswami continued, having heard Nanda Maharaj relate the statements of Gagamuni, the residents of Vrindavan became enlivened. Their perplexity is gone, and they worship Nanda and Lord Krishna with great respect. Here's the purport. So Jiva Goswami explains that in this verse the words anarchu indicate that the residents of Vrindavan honored Nanda and Krishna with such offerings as fragrances, garlands, and garments brought from their homes. They immediately began to honor and worship Nanda Maharaj for telling him the truth about Krishna and for being the father of Krishna, and Krishna for being so wonderful. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti adds that the residents of Vrindavan honored Nanda and Krishna with burning offerings of jewels and gold coins. Apparently, Lord Krishna was playing in the forest when this conversation took place. So when he returned home, the residents of Vrindavan encouraged him by decorating him with beautiful yellow garments, necklaces, armlets, earrings, and crowns, and by shouting, all glories to the jewel of Vrindavan. All glories to the jewel of Vrindavan. Hari Bol. And then, and here the Prabhupada explains, this is the verse that they said, but in some places I think some of the acharyas said that this was just spoken spontaneously by Sukadeva Goswami also. The final verse. So after being in touch with Krishna in this way, excuse me, this is the conclusion of Sukadeva, the coward man, or us. He became angry when his sacrifice was disrupted, and thus he caused rain and hail to fall on Gokul, accompanied by lightning and powerful winds. All of this brought great suffering to the cowherds, the animals, and women there. When Lord Krishna, who was by nature always compassionate, saw the condition of those who had him as their only shelter, he smiled broadly and lifted up Govardhan Hill with one hand, just as a small child picks up a mushroom to play with it. In this way, he protected the cowherd community. And here is their conclusion. Vibrat Goshtam Apan Mahendra Madhavitya Priyana Indra Gavim. The conclusion is, may he, Govinda, who has done these activities, who is unlimitedly powerful, he's so powerful he picked up Govardhan Hill with one hand, just as an elephant picks up what? That was from before. That's what he said. A little boy, so in either case, as the resident of Vrindavan said before, an elephant can pick up a lotus flower with no effort. It's not, doesn't take any of his great strength to do that. And just as a little boy or a young boy can pick up a mushroom, a frog's umbrella, as it's sometimes called, to play with it. So similarly, with no effort, he protected, Krishna protected the cowherd community by lifting Govardhan Hill. And to lift a hill is so difficult, too difficult. We can even say impossible. But for Krishna, he did it as effortlessly as an elephant picks up a lotus flower or a little boy picks up a mushroom. And the conclusion is, he's so powerful, and he's also, he did it because his nature is always compassionate. That was what I said before. When he saw the condition of those who had him as their shelter, only him as their shelter. So there's a little hint in there for us. So Krishna is very compassionate. His very nature is compassionate. His heart is soft. And when he saw the condition of those who had him as their only shelter, and what was their condition? They were suffering due to the high winds and the showering of the hailstones, chunks of ice from the sky. So they were suffering, and the bulls were suffering. There's a description of the bulls. Oh, they were suffering so much because they're very noble and ferocious, and there was nothing they could do when these hail balls were hitting them. But Krishna's nature, very nature, is full of compassion. So he reacted because they only had him as their shelter. And how did he react? By lifting a hill. So lifting a hill is so difficult. One could say it's impossible, because no one can lift a hill. But Krishna did something that was, practically speaking, impossible. He did it effortlessly. So therefore, may he, Govinda, the Lord of the cows, and the destroyer of Indra's false pride, be pleased with us. So that's the desire. The scene in there is Krishna, who is so compassionate and who never denies shelter to those who completely take shelter of him, may he protect us. So may he be pleased with us. And if he's pleased with us, certainly he will protect. So some say that this was spoken by the cowherd man, and some by Sukadeva. He became so inspired after speaking this passage of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. Then in the next chapter, Krishna was wandering around, and this was again on the, I think on the 8 days after. So it was on the Ashtami, so many days after, that Krishna, 8 days after, when Krishna healed the hill for 8 days, 7 days? 7 days? And then he put it down on the 8th day. Krishna was wandering around, walking around the outside of Govardhan Hill, the outskirts, inspecting it to see what damage the thunder and lightning of that Indra had thrown had caused. And then, while he was in a quiet place, which is now known as Govindakund in that area, and there's a place where they say where Indra came, just near Govindakund, that he came in a very humble way, and Indra began to offer some prayers to Krishna, and he brought Sarabhi with him. Sarabhi was a heavenly cow from the heavenly planets. When Krishna saved the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the wrath of Indra by lifting Govardhan Hill, the surrounding cow from Goloka Vrindavan, the acharyas say also that it came from nothing, the spiritual world, because Indra could not bring a cow from the spiritual world. What they say, the cow came from heavenly planets. Because why did so Saravi cow and Indra came. So why did the Saravi cow come with Indra?
Because Krishna is a son of the cow herders, and to please him, he should come with something that is decent.
So who gave him that advice? Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, because he had his experience, as earlier described in the 15th chapter, when Krishna was upset with him for stealing the cowherd boys. Krishna wouldn't even talk to him, even though he was Lord Brahma. He says, consider the worst kind of neglect is the worst kind of punishment. That's what, who said that? Varuna said that to Krishna. To Krishna, when Krishna came after his duties had kidnapped Ananda Maharaj, he said, please either forgive me or chastise me, but please do not neglect me. So Brahma had been neglected. So when Indra came and told Lord Brahma, I've done this terrible thing. I'm so proud that when they neglected my sacrifice, I tried to kill all the residents of Vrindavan, Krishna, the cows, everyone. I tried to kill them all. And I tried to inundate the place with rain and thunder and lightning and hail. But Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, and all the residents of Vrindavan were protected, and he held the hill for 7 days. That's with the little finger of his left hand, and I understood that this Krishna is not the talkative boy that I assumed he was, little boy, but actually he's my master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now what should I do? He went to Brahma to ask some advice. And Lord Brahma said, yeah, I also made a mistake with Krishna. I couldn't understand who he was. I think you should immediately go and apologize to him. But when you go, because Krishna so loves the cows so much, you should take with you a cow, a Saravi cow, because Indra was from the heaven planet Swargalok. So he had access to that cow. So he brought that cow and he pushed the cow in front, because that way when Krishna saw the cow, his heart would soften, because Krishna loved cows so much. It's hard for us to understand this, but he loved cows so much. He had so much affection for cows. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, for the cows, the Brahmins, and the land. Jagadhitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Nama. So he loves the cows. Krishna has so much affection for the cows and the calves. Hey Pingali, hey Samadhi, hey Gangi. So he took, so Indra, being very clever, he took a cow with him. So Krishna brought, no, Indra brought a Saravi cow, as well as King Indra from the heavenly planets appeared before him in a secluded place. And Krishna was so kind that he didn't want to embarrass Krishna in public by having him apologize in public. Therefore, he stealthily, Indra stealthily, what is stealthily?
Discreetly.
has secretly disappeared, almost invisibly, so no one can see him. He appeared before Krishna in a secluded place, and this secluded place was Govinda. Indra immediately fell down at the lotus feet of Krishna. Although his own crown was dazzling like sunshine. So he knew how powerful he was, he himself was, but he knew how more powerful Krishna was, because he had exhausted all his energy trying to destroy Krishna, and Krishna, with no effort, protected himself and all the residents of Vrindavan. So by now, Indra knew about the exalted position of Krishna, because Krishna is the master of Indra. But he could not believe that Krishna could come down and live in Vrindavan among the cowherd men, which is very similar to what the cowherd men were thinking. How is it possible? When you read the Bhagavatam, almost in every case when the Lord incarnates in either an exalted Brahmin family or in an exalted Kshatriya family, but how is it that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is wandering around the land of Vrindavan just like a Krishigorakshamanijam, like a Vaishya, like just a cowherd man, a village man? Even the people in the city, when you try to explain something to some of the people who come from the village, they say, oh, village people. Oh. That's the Bombay people think of the village people like that, yes? From people from Karnoki. Kunkli. Do they think of them like that? As village people?
No.
My parents are from that village, so. Oh, yeah. Not you taking them, but. I think all village people, they can't understand anything. Also, to the United States, where the people come from. The city people think that they're the most intelligent, swiftest. And then sometimes you see in New York City, even you see the people come from some other, from a little city, a little town or village, and they'd be walking around New York like this. Everyone, oh, village boy. So that's how Indra, and even Brahma couldn't understand that. How is it possible that the unlimitedly powerful Supreme Lord would be wandering around the cowherd fields of Vrindavan with no shoes, and he's so unsophisticated and unknowledgeable and uncultured that he's holding some yogurt and rice in his left hand? So now Indra understood Krishna's position, and even though he was so opulent with his crown that was dazzling like sunshine, he knew previously about the position of Krishna. He couldn't believe that Krishna could live in a Vrindavan amongst the coward men. And when Krishna defied the authority of Indra, Indra became angry because he thought that he was all in all within this universe, and no one was as powerful as he. So what is it that causes someone to think like that?
Pride.
Pride. Born of?
False ego.
Or is false ego born of pride? Either way, you can say. Because there's some delusion that the soul that comes in, that he wants to becomes Krishna, Bhule Seji, forgetting Krishna. Anadya Bahimukhi, he turns his back on Krishna. And then so there's a kind of pride born of free choice that the soul has when he turns his back on Krishna. And then Atteva Maya Tare, Samsadeva Dukhi, he gets false ego, and he's placed within a consciousness by the mercy of false ego There are four subtle elements. There's buddhi, mano, citta, and ahankara. There's polluted consciousness. There's mind and polluted intelligence. And this false ego. False sense of existing separate from Krishna. So ego means identity. And false ego means a false sense of existence. Because we do exist. Clearly we exist. If anyone doesn't exist, raise your hand. But of course, how can you raise your hand if you don't exist? So everyone exists. It's clear that we, each of us exists. But in illusion, we perceive of ourselves, our existence as separate from the Supreme, the Absolute Truth. And that, if one understands the nature of, or the definition of what the Absolute Truth is, is that from which everything else emanates. That is the definition of Absolute Truth. Different from the definition of the Ishwara, or God, or the Controller. But he, everything emanates from him. There is nothing external to him. All existence and non-existence comes from him. So, what false ego does, it gives us an illusory sense of existence separate from Krishna. And in that illusory universe, we don't perceive our nature as part of Krishna, or we don't perceive our identity in relationship to Krishna. And in that universe, in that type of thinking where we see things, everything else is separate from Krishna. This is the kind of thoughts that come. Anger. Because no one else sees that, because in illusion I perceive myself as the center of existence. This is false ego. It's the product of false ego. So there's pride immediately. And then when the universe refuses to bend to my whim, then I become angry. So Indra was in that situation, influenced by false ego. He became angry because he thought that he was all in all within the universe and no one was as powerful as he. But after this incident, his false puffed up prestige was destroyed. So this, we are sure that this must happen to everyone in the material world who is covered by a false ego. There must come times or a time where our illusion of our greatness, our puffed upness, false puffed up prestige, it must be destroyed. It is the very nature of material existence that it will destroy our illusory sense of greatness, because reality is that we are not great. Reality is that we are tiny and insignificant. Reality is that in 50 years or 100 years or 150 years from now, no one will probably even know that we ever existed. Now, that always, when I think of that, that always brings my illusory sense of being great. I'm so great, I'm so wonderful. But in 150 years or 100 years from now or 50 years from now, no one will even know I existed. Or maybe one or two people, and then when they die. So this is called false prestige. And the material world is so engineered to remove our false illusory sense of pride. And the proper removal of the proper consciousness, the natural consciousness, pride is illusory consciousness, because were insignificant. So I think when insignificant things is great, it's obviously illusion. And if there is a fight between illusion and reality, what wins? What do you think?
Yeah.
Generally, yes. And most assuredly, the example I like to give is that if we sometimes the impersonalists say that everything in this world is illusion. Everything in existence is illusion, it has no existence. So then we say, I have an idea. Why don't you go over there and run as fast as you can into this illusory wall, if that's what you believe. Because of course we don't think it's illusion, we think it's temporary. So the illusion that it's illusion is cracked by the reality of the wall if you try that experiment. Because when there is a struggle between illusion and reality, reality always wins. Reality always wins. So being conscious, so finally Indra lost his false sense of prestige, thinking that he was all in all, and being conscious of his subordinate position, he appeared before Krishna with folded hands and a bowed head, even though he had a dazzling helmet, and he began to offer the following prayers. But tomorrow we shall hear those prayers, not tonight. Any questions or comments? Where do you live?
Dhyanala.
Also not far. What street?
Woodrow.
Woodrow.
Yes.
Oh, we know that. That one is ready to go from.
Yes.
But still it took a half hour to get here almost?
It came from work
directly. Oh. Where is your work?
In the city.
How did you come? You drove?
One of my friends, Shashwat. So he
was Hare Krishna. And you're also from South?
Yeah, we stay together.
India.
Oh, India, I'm from Delhi.
From Delhi itself? What part of Delhi?
Janakpuri.
You are. You come at? Janakpuri is. Chanakpuri or no?
Yeah, Chanakpuri is near Dwarka.
Near Dwarka? Dwarka? I thought that was in Gujarat.
No, I mean there's a suburb called as Dwarka.
I never heard of it.
Alright, you know Delhi Kent?
Yeah, maybe.
Yes, near there.
I used to know Delhi more, but not so much anymore. Have you been to Vrindavan so many times?
No.
Why? So close to Vrindavan. You had other interests when you were in India, yeah?
Yeah, I went to other places, but not India.
What places did you go to?
I went further north in Vaishno Devi and Nainital and Himachal Pradesh and all that places.
But Nainital is not so much a holy place.
Yeah, I mean, it was just for going there, visiting.
And especially in the hot season. Yes?
Yeah, in June, July.
Yes. But Vrindavan is for something else. Vrindavan is to go there and offer some.
I have gone to real Dwarka. Not the area on the real Dwarka place.
You have seen Dwarkis? Have you gone out to Big
Dwarka? Yeah, I've been to Somnath, Dwarka, and Great Dwarka.
But you have not been to Vrindavan?
No. I have been to Gokul, I mean.
You went to Gokul? Oh, okay. Gokul is nice. You are lucky. Okay, Hare Krishna. Nice to meet you. So this is the Gaon Gokul.
I mean, I've been to that place where, you know, that temple where Krishna was given to Nanda Maharaj.
What do you see? You have such a huge intelligence. Look at this. Such a big brain. What are you working as or studying?
I'm a rocket engineer.
Engineer. Very good. Hare
Krishna.